The Guardian.
This is Noah. Noah is a 1.5-year-old male and actually named after my son. Makiri here is an 8 to 10-year-old male and definitely the boss of the pool. And just in the foreground is Katame.
On the remote and beautiful island of Gavutu, Chris Porter is introducing me to his dolphins. He used to train sea lions in Vancouver. Today he is running a highly controversial business exporting wild dolphins from the impoverished Solomon Islands in the South Pacific, of which Gavutu is one. The dolphins are destined for theme parks and public aquariums as far away as Dubai, catering for our relentless fascination with these romanticized mammals. They can fetch between £15,000 to £50,000 each.
And where did the dolphins come from? How did you catch them?
The dolphins are part of our program here in the Solomon Islands, which we work with traditional dolphin hunters and provide a live alternative use for the animals instead of killing them.
Chris Porter argues that his business not only boosts the local economy, but rescues the creatures from traditional dolphin hunts. Hundreds of dolphins are slaughtered in these hunts, which take place every year in the northern province of Malaita. The prize of the hunt is the dolphin teeth. For centuries, the teeth of certain species have been used as currency, and even though they have now officially been replaced by the island's dollar, they are still required for special financial transactions such as paying a dowry or bride price.
If I want to prepare for my son's wedding, I have to kill so many that for 5,000 the best dolphin teeth so that my son can be married.
Robert Satu, a local man who now works with Chris Porter, explains.
I have to kill 50 dolphins to get the best teeth. And if I got the best teeth out of one dolphin, I have a good value.
Although Porter might see himself as the savior of the dolphins, animal activists condemn his operation. They claim he has been responsible for the deaths of dozens of dolphins. Porter's very first shipment to a theme park in Mexico caused an outcry when 9 dolphins died soon after arrival, and his business was suspended for several years. Porter, who has so far exported 58 dolphins, admits mistakes have been made. He insists, however, that there is nothing intrinsically wrong with taking the creatures.
When you move dolphins and they arrive at the new facility, and you take them out of their transport units and you put them into the pool, they stretch and they go find their buddies and get into their social groupings, and within an hour they're eating fish from your hand again and their life starts there again.
In addition, according to Porter, protesting animal activists may inadvertently be encouraging business.
Animal activists actually, ironically, probably without their knowledge, increase the price of the animals, because they make the whole process very difficult. And there's not many people like me that are willing to go through that process and to risk your name being thrown around in the media and to risk being viewed as the evil one we must stop. There's only a small amount of us in the world that are willing to stand up for it and believe in it and believe that it's the best alternative. So that does cause an increase in the price.
But for activist Lawrence Maliki, who has teamed up with a San Francisco animal welfare group called the Earth Island Institute, Porter is exploiting both the dolphins and the local people for the sake of profit.
Chris Porter calls himself animal trainer. I call Chris Porter a dolphin slavery trader, because it is not different from the slavery trading business in the past. They captured people to do slavery work. And it's exactly the same principle that is applied now to these poor dolphins. They capture dolphins to do amusement for human beings, rich people in other parts of the world, and it's still slavery.
I discussed the controversy with Robert Satu.
Do you understand why many animal activists think that what you're doing is wrong?
Well, for themselves, I think they believe their own way of thinking, but for me, I think it's best for me to, instead of kill them in here, in home, it's best for me to send them little by little in numbers, send them out.
And how much money have you made from sending dolphins to Mexico and Dubai. You have a new boat, I see.
With the 28 dolphins that I sent it to Dubai, I have been paid enough. I got the money out from that shipment and I bought a boat here now. For my family, it's a big achievement.
To us, the main important thing is the livelihood of our people. Every resource has to contribute to the livelihood of our people. We do not protect our resources for the sake of protection. We will.
Dr. Christian Ramaphosa is permanent secretary in the Ministry of Fisheries and Marine Resources.
We protect the resources for the sake of our people. We use the resources for the sake of our people. So to us, the export of dolphin is just the utilization of our resources to contribute to the livelihood of our people.
For many, this attitude is simply not good enough. Sue Arnold from Australians for Animals says many of Porter's dolphins die during or shortly after capture. Her group hopes there will be international condemnation of Porter's activities and that his business will be shut down for a second time. Porter is exploiting this situation pure and simple, she said. Dolphins belong in the ocean, and that's the bottom line.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.